Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder Building Stronger and Better Lives, and I'm coming to you this morning with my co-host, Sharon Jackson, and we are a part of the Palm Beach Life Planners Mastermind Group, a group of like-minded individuals, a part of the International Mastermind Association. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Ann.
We are talking this morning about Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. So what we'd like to do, Sharon, is start off by actually going straight to the book and reading some introduction portions of the book to just prepare ourselves and our listening audience in preparation for our special guest this morning. So, Sharon, if you have a section that you'd like to start off with, we can start there. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and start.
I like to always begin with one of the things we talk about, think and grow rich, but it's really a development of your mindset. And the book refers to this as only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with the desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it, that there's only few steps essential for the accumulation of money, but necessary for the attainment of any definite goal. I think it's important because as you read the entire chapter, they talk about money and wealth. But money consciousness is more than just dollars and coins. It is the whole idea of abundance, and abundance in your health, abundance in your family relationships, abundance in your business, abundance in your standing in the community. So I like to always begin with the money consciousness and actually setting that in place. And everyone has a turning point. Many people do things. There's always a turning point in your life, a turning point that you become an adult, a turning point that you decide where you're going to be in life, whether that you're going to be average or whether you're going to do great exploits. There's a turning point in your life when you make the mental decisions, I'm going to be a person of excellence, or else I'm just going to decide to be normal and average, when we know we've all been designed to be perfect. So I'd like to start off with that, Anne. The book says about turning point. The turning point in lives of those who succeed usually comes at a moment of some great crisis through which they are introduced to their other self. And I think that the idea of your other self, as we talk about this, as we talk as Ann and Sharon Jackson, as our guest comes on and starts speaking about himself and his successes in life and his accumulation of abundance or his growth in his success consciousness, we'll be talking about our other selves, the other selves that we grew into, that turning point in our lives that we made a decision and we transitioned from the average to the one that becomes the one that chooses to go in and do great exploits, whatever that exploit is, whether that exploit means that you are an incredible mother, an incredible wife, an incredible person that develops business or businesses, an incredible supervisor, an incredible employee. It could be an incredible janitor. But there's a turning point when you make the decision from going to the average into the great. So, Anne, I'd like to start there. The reason why we talk about this is that there have been several times when people have come on to the call and said, you know, you all just talk about money. But in fact, what is so important about what we're talking about is that being average or being below average is becoming common. But we haven't been designed to be common. None of us, as men or women, we're a new race that is about to run. We are a new race of people. The stakes represent huge fortunes which can be accumulated within the next few years. It is important because as we, a new race of people that are not common, that are totally uncommon, our communities depend on us. Our families depend on us. As we become entrepreneurs, there are communities because we create employment. We generate children that think and that have critical thinking. We have children, we develop people that go out after the new economy. We know that the economy cycles. We know that the economy changes to create new jobs. So we create people and we uphold people that moved with a new economy. So that's what that means. We're a new race. Anne, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Sharon. I want to go back to the book, talking about turning points, the version of the book that we're using in Thinking Grow Rich. For our listening audience again, you're listening to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show, and we're discussing the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And the version that I have, Sharon, of the book on page 28 says, every individual who reaches the age of understanding, and that may be in line with what you're suggesting about a turning point, but the book goes on to say that every individual who reaches the age of understanding the purpose of money wishes for it. Wishes will not bring riches, but desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to acquire riches and backing those plans with persistence, which does not recognize failure, will bring riches. And one of the reasons we have our special guest on today, which we'll bring on right after our first commercial, is because he is a man of positive thinking, prosperity thinking, sales, and learning how to go from the wishing, from the desire, to the reality and manifestation of using sales to create profit. So as we use this book, Think and Grow Rich, as we talk about the burning desire, as we talk about the chapter on faith, I'd like to also read something else from page 29 that talks about only those who become money conscious, and I think you were talking about this, Sharon, earlier. The book says only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means the mind has become saturated with the desire for money that one can see one's self already in possession of it. To the uninitiated who have not been schooled in the working principles of the human mind, these instructions may appear impractical,
it may be helpful to all to recognize that the soundness of the six steps to riches, we'll use those as an example, to know that this information may convey, that was conveyed to Napoleon Hill by Andrew Carnegie, it works. I mean, if it works for Andrew Carnegie, Sharon, it should work for any of us who are willing to put the principles in place and actually act on those principles. And as you know, every time we have this show, I always have to refer to the section that talks about the six steps to riches. But I'm not going to go into that because it's almost time for a commercial. But I'm very excited today, Sharon, to be a part of this show and to really learn how to earn. I mean, you can talk about, you know, those people who are not interested in money, but it doesn't matter what you want to do in life, even if you are a tither, the more you have to give, the more you can give as a tither. But how can you give if you don't understand how to make money? And so I have no apologies, very, very clear about, you know, what's important in my life in particular, and that starts with my faith. But at the same time, I know that I'm responsible for being a good steward, and I cannot do that without learning how to earn. So, Sharon, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to respond. I'm going to make this one comment, and then I'm going to go into commercial. The reason why we have special guests, those people that have made their mark in business or in various aspects of life, is because if they can grow rich, you know, naturally it focuses on persons like Andrew Carnegie and Edison. And those are men, Thomas A. Edison, those are men of our distant past. So there are people who say, well, that was a different time, that was a different age. But it's important to realize that there are people in the here and now that have used these principles that have excelled and that have gone into being the 10th man instead of the 9 average men. They have become the 10th man. So we do this to let you know, or let people, the listening audience, know that there are people that have used these principles that and that they work. So now let us go on to commercial.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Very good, and we are back. We'd like to introduce our special guest today, Mr. Gilbert Garcia. This is a man of 25 years of extensive experience in all aspects of commercial real estate investment fields, including but not limited to acquisition, financing, construction development, and resort sales development. He has been able to successfully engage in real estate transactions ranging from $500,000 to $17 million. He also specializes in the sourcing of investment-grade commercial real estate investment and development opportunities of multiple property types for purchase, such as multifamily, mixed-use, office, industrial, hotel / resort. He also is a seasoned marketing and leasing representative. His expertise is centered on undervalued and turnaround redevelopment opportunities in markets with strong development income growth rates, markets with high entry barriers, and markets exhibiting other demographic characters, markets with significant academic or government presence. You know what, I should stop there, but I'm going to keep on going because this man is a man that understands land use and zoning. So I'm going to, there's a lot to this person, so I probably will hold on for a little bit so that at the next commercial we will back.
Thank you.
Tell you
sorry,
even
Jim.
More. Anne?
No, I'm just so excited. I can't really retain myself. So if we can continue to hear about Mr. Garcia after the commercial, then we can go straight into introducing him. Good morning, Mr. Garcia.
Good morning. You're going to have to excuse me. I just got over a real bad cold, so, okay. Now, I'm very glad about this show because since a young man, I've always been a part of Think and Grow Rich and that type of positive mental attitude. And you talk about turning points, and I'm thinking right now where my turning point was. When you have a wife and two kids and you run out of gas and you don't even have money to put in gas, believe me, that's a turning point. At that moment, I knew things had to change. And that's where the mastermind and the desire and everything comes into play, because then you focus on what you want to obtain. And you start, everything in your life becomes a passion to do what you want to get to where you are, the goals. Everything that is spoken about in the Think and Grow Rich comes together at one point or another. I hear that people, when they think about money, it's not money. Money is an instrument. It's when you obtain to become the best, to get to your plateau in your life and your experience as a professional, as a person, as a member of your family, your church, your community, money comes to you. That's the way the law works. You cannot, if you don't want money because you want to cure any sickness or help the poor, you're going to need money. You can't build hospitals without money. You can't buy medicines without money. So it's not the love of money. The love of money is what's bad. It's money is good. It helps. It's part of the free market system that we live in. It's part of what made America great. And there's nothing better to hear somebody who's, through all the odds, growing up in the worst community or with a terrible family, decided to become somebody better and just obtain all kinds of success in their life, okay? Money is an instrument. The mastermind philosophy is more than that. It's just being the best. It's creating, you know. If you look at everything surrounding you today, every little single thing you see has made somebody a millionaire. So,
now, Mr. Garcia, excuse me for one second.
Yes.
This is Ann McNeil. I just want to have you share with us, at what point, going back to Sharon's question about the turning point, at what point and at what age and where were you exactly, if you remember, being introduced to the book, and how did that come about?
It was from one book to another. I was in my teens, and it's like an empty teen without knowing where, almost finishing high school, didn't know what my future was going to be. I saw a book that it's always been in my house. It was How to Make Friends and Influence People, okay? And I read the book, and I didn't think much of it when I always saw it, but when I read it, it really filled that emptiness in me. From there, I went to Think and Grow Rich. I knew I can be better. Pretty much that's it. I knew that I didn't have to be average. I knew anything that I dreamed of and wanted to do, I can do. And that's what the book really helped me obtain, because everybody, whether they admit it or not, has a burning desire for something better in their life. It's just those that take the step and follow and seek the information. If you go back to the book of Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill had to go to these big millionaires and see what was their success formula, what was their track formula, how did they do it. And that's how he compiled it in the book. Pretty much it's a brief on success and thinking and growing rich and getting a mindset. But it doesn't stop there. Every day the road to success is always under construction. As you can see, we all have been going through construction through this economic time. But people are still becoming rich. People are still making millions, and it doesn't stop. So I think it was at a very young age, pretty much there's always adjustments that you do along the way, and you get other thoughts. But the mindset is once you get a desire and that goal, then you're like a missile on target. And that's the purpose of Think and Grow Rich, is having your goals, having your desire, and then you won't be wasting time doing other things that won't take you to your goal.
Now let me ask you this, Sharon, if I may. Mr. Garcia, I posted you and promote you, and I share with people when I refer to you as the sales expert. And Sharon, I met Mr. Garcia at a meeting that we have at the Miami International Airport, hosted by Milton Collins, the DBE coordinator for the International Airport in Miami. And the first Friday, we all come together, small businesses, along with many consultants, and we talk about the opportunities that are available in Miami-Dade County. And so every month, Mr. Garcia has words of wisdom that he chooses to share with so many of us. And basically, they revolve around sales and how to make your sales more profitable and how to, you know, be focused on your appointments and how to just be persistent and consistent and never give up. And so I thought for our listening audience that he would be a great contribution. And then I began to realize, okay, where does he get this attitude and this spirit of always being uplifted and uplifting others and always being, wanting to pour into the lives of others? So, Mr. Garcia, if you could give us a couple of suggestions, if you will, as relates to sales, how do you use this book in your business in terms of increasing sales? Because many people who are listening to this show are in business or starting a business or would just like to understand, how do I go from where I am in terms of my profitability or my sales to that next level? Can you share with us about that? And how to use the book? And I'm asking that question because so many people, millions of people have read this book, but it's not in the reading of the book. It is in the book reading you and understanding and actually applying what the book says. Can you share with us any particular portion or comments or thoughts regarding Chapter 1 or Chapter 2 or any other portion of the book that helps you to continue to increase your sales?
Absolutely. You know, sales, it can be the worst paying job in the world or it can be the best paying job in the world. Pretty much anybody who's become a multimillionaire or billionaire has been a great salesperson. You cannot establish a business and sell your ideas and get the funding and do everything if you're not sales oriented. And like I told you, sales is revenue, everything else is an expense, you know. So, and it comes down to that wealth consciousness that we talk about. One of the hardest parts of the book is the mastermind. I've had to read it many, many, many times, but it's the greatest part of the book. When you create that wealth conscious, that money conscious, then your focus and that energy that goes through us starts attracting the things that you need towards your goal. Sales, you know, there are moments in sales where you're not going to meet the numbers, you're not going to get the results you want. And if you start, you're constantly hearing no, 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 no. And if you don't have that focus, that mental attitude to where you visualize where you want to be and what you want to do, then you're going to fail at sales and you're going to fail at your business venture. And then you hear those stories like, oh, well, I tried to get in business, but the competition, this. They're simply stories. You have to overcome. And to overcome, you have to have that positive mental attitude that you cannot fail. It's simply that. And even when things are going bad, your focus comes to begin to overcome anything that that attacked you, and you focus. When you get that money conscious, you begin with the goal building. You have to measure your success. You know, success is, it's not luck. It's something that you work at, and you're constantly working at. And you have, in sales, that's one of the most important things, okay? When you're not focused, I just did an interview this week, and with the bad economy, I spoke to so many people, I was actually sad for them. I said, I have to sell so much this year, make so much money, so I can create jobs. That's the capitalistic way. That's the free market enterprise. So I can give these people jobs. So when you see companies making millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, they're focused on the numbers. They know what their goals are. They know what the vision is. And with the mental attitude, you have to have that vision. If you're a small person, you have to know where your business is going to be in 5 years and how much is it going to take. And you're constantly hearing the definite purpose of your dreams and your goals. And that's part of the sales process. When I became a salesperson, I wasn't the best salesperson in the world. I had to learn the first 2 years, the income wasn't there, but I knew where I was going to be, and I knew one day I was going to be the top salesperson or one of the top salespersons. And it comes down to numbers and measuring your goals and visualizing and having that focus, seeing what you were going to do with that money, visualizing how you were going to live, how your business was going to be, what was the mission of your life. And that comes together with the positive mental attitude. Because if you don't have that positive mental attitude that they talk about in Think and Grow Rich, you will never obtain that goal. Any other questions on that?
There is a line in the book that says our only limitations, and this is on page 36 of Desire, our only limitations are those we set up in our own mind. You've already told us that you actually apparently wrote your vision. You want to talk to us about that, how you wrote your vision, and again, to kind of use a term that Anne stated, how to keep it alive in your mind.
Well, that's a constant. As you know, just recently, everybody had some kind of difficulty through this economic crash, okay? And many have given up. They say, well, this is never going to come. Others have taken advantage and said, well, you know, I can do this in these hard times and made fortune. So that's continually, you know, things aren't perfect. The world isn't perfect. But if you don't have that mental attitude, that desire, and that vision, it doesn't make it any easier, okay? You will fail many times, but then you will succeed many times, and then it becomes a habit. Success is a habit. A failure is a habit. You know what to do and what not to do once you have your vision. That vision, I saw myself, and like I said, it wasn't money. The money came with the things that I wanted. I saw myself being the best. I saw myself where I was going to tell somebody, listen, I came from this background, from nothing, and this is what I have. And I did it an honest way, and I did it by working hard and with all the things that our Christian lifestyle talks about without having to hurt people, okay? So part of that vision is it's good. It's all the good you can do being successful, you know, how you can help your family. Like I said, with the free market enterprise system, the bigger your business grows, you'll help people get jobs. You're doing good for your community. I had a vision because I was a college dropout. At that moment in my life, I thought I was a failure. Today I see kids dropping out of high school, and they're happy. You know, I couldn't, that burning desire to say, I have to fulfill what my life purpose was, to be the best that I can be, okay? I visualized myself. I visualized myself being an expert. I visualized myself when I was going to speak to somebody, how they were going to listen to me, okay? I visualized things, how I didn't go back to school, but I didn't stop learning. And I can sit down right now with architects, CPAs, lawyers, and I can go through the whole process of building a $130 million condo complex that we're doing right now. And they sit at me and they know that I'm an expert. And that was part of my vision. That was my vision, being able to walk in the room. And when you're a top salesman, when you're a closer, when you concentrate on your work, you command respect. And that was my vision. So, like I said, it wasn't money. Money comes with that because you reach a level of perfection, of expertise, of being strong in your profession, in your knowledge, in your business, in your trade, whatever you do in life that's going to bring you the your income, that it money follows. It's simply as that. You, when you go to the doctor, you want to go to the best doctor. When you want a lawyer, you want the best lawyer. When you want a carpenter, you want the best carpenter. That's why the focus, my vision was trying to be the best that I can be. It's somebody that people wanted to come to. And by coming to, that what brings me the money opportunity of making income. And that's how Think and Grow Rich has worked for me.
This is very good. In the book, when it talks about how to develop faith, it says faith is the state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmations or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principle of auto-suggestion. We're going to go to commercial now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about auto-suggestion. What are the things that you do every day, every moment, to take you from being exactly what Mr. Garcia just mentioned, to be the best architect, to be the best carpenter, to be the best realtor. But thank you. We're going to head to commercial, and we shall be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Mr. Garcia mentioned before we went to commercial break that he became an expert in real estate, that he was able to go into the room with master architects, master developers, master contractors, and be a man that is expert, the one that they know that he knows what he's talking about. I'd like to read the next paragraph of his synopsis of his experience. He consistently learned throughout a quarter century of hands-on experience and developed a multidimensional understanding of all aspects of real estate industry, apart from sales, including building codes and zoning issues, funding and acquisition issues, and project development technologies, which is the reason why you were able to go into those boardrooms and speak with experience. Can you tell us about how you came into the understanding of that's how you needed to do it and how you developed your techniques for auto-suggestion?
it comes down to the book where you set your goals and you have that definite purpose in life. As much as I wanted to deny it, real estate has always been my definite purpose. Many times I said, I'm quitting this business. I'm getting out of it. But I tend to get back into it. And from an early age, and that's why it's important to know what you want in life, and that's where most people fail, I think, in the positive mental attitude, getting that definite purpose. Because once you have a definite purpose, you won't stop doing what you have to do. You'll talk about what you want to do. You'll act the role of what you want to do. You read the books that you want to do. You learn the things. You're on YouTube just looking at what you want to do. Excuse me. And that's how I was. At an early age, I remember speaking to my uncle, why don't we get in real estate? Oh, no, this and that, the dream robbers. Then when I was walking, I'm reading about real estate. When I went to all my electives were in real estate. Even my counselor says, why are you taking so many real estate classes? I would say, I don't know. I like real estate. Eventually, that turning point that we talked about, when I saw that I wasn't making the income, I wasn't giving my family what should have been, I said, I can't go back to college because I can't afford to take so many hours and stuff. I have to take a trade that's going to help me make income. So, and to get where I want to in terms of income. And then in the meantime, I'll continue training and learning and then become a professional through site education, you know, with the courses and seminars and stuff like that. Eventually, I got my license. I got into real estate in the worst market when interest rate was 21%. They think this market was bad, and that one was worse. And 6 months later, my savings were eating up, and people say, why don't you get a job? I said, I have a job. I'm just not making the money. But I wouldn't quit. I continue seeking, learning, improving. I got into an organization that was very sales and oriented. They were really oriented in motivation and getting pumped up and training and closing. And I took pretty much, as a salesperson in the resort vacation industry, I learned the strong sales technique. Then I saw myself being the manager. And eventually I became what's called a closer because I was so good at it. I was able to overcome all objections and find a solution and close deals. That's when the money really started coming in. There was a point where I became, like I said, a turnaround man. And as a turnaround man, you go in, you see a resort that's not making money or property or a shopping center. With the same budget, 6 months later, you can make it profitable or in a year. And that's what I became very good at. And eventually I said, well, I think it's time I'm making other people millions. Let me start making my first million, okay? And that was the vision, the desire, and it's from one step to the next step to the next step. But every step takes you closer to that vision you have. When just like a crazy person that sees visions in their minds and they believe it, you have to believe your success. You have to believe that what you're going to accomplish. You have to feel it. It's the passion. That's the desire that they talk about. And whenever you're doing something in life, without desire or passion, you're simply setting yourself up for failure. And that pretty much was my desire at an early age. It's still a work in process. I see myself right now with this new boom that we have here in South Florida. I think finally in the last, even in this turn down market, I went since, well, I'm not making so much money because my industry's dead. I'm going to go to other areas and learn things that when it comes back, it's going to be the missing link to make me more money. And that's what I did. That's what I focused the last 2 years on, the construction industry, which was dead. But I learned things that I needed to fulfill where I can pretty much build a city today. And that was truly my vision. So I see myself in the next 5 years getting involved in some very serious project. Money-making project. And like I said, the goal is not money, of course. I'm going to live better. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go to nicer restaurants. I'm going to dress better when the money starts coming in. But my goal is truly building the projects. I'm not sure if it's in Think and Grow Rich or The Law of Success from Napoleon Hill, but they have the story about when the Brooklyn Bridge was being built, there was a shoemaker. And an engineer came and started saying, we're going to have a bridge from here to the other side to Manhattan, and it's going to be a steel bridge and cars and people can transport against it. And the guy said, that can't be built. Eventually, they built the Brooklyn Bridge, and the same shoemaker said, how did they do it? You see, that's the difference from a PMA type of person that we are, versus those that are average and, oh, well, that's green. I'm not success-oriented. I don't want to get in sales because all I hear is no, 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 no. I see the Brooklyn Bridge being built, and I can see the cars passing through it, and I'm still building it.
Very good. I see that we have callers. I am going to invite you to communicate with us while we are still talking. We have approximately 19 minutes left in the show. You can press 1 or you can just join us in the chat room. You can log on through your Facebook. If you press 1, I will see your hand raised and I will be able to open your mic so that you can either make a comment or ask a question of our knowledgeable guest. That was good. That was a good answer about our last question. The next place that I want to go to in terms of faith is your self-confidence formula. Again, this is in Chapter 2 on faith. It sounds as if you had a self-confidence formula. According to Think and Grow Rich, the first step is I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I hear and now promise to render such action. Number 2 is I shall concentrate on my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, therefore creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person, which is exactly what Mr. Garcia mentioned. I see that we have a caller. Jamie has raised her hand. I'm going to open your mic, Jamie.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Jamie, you have a comment?
Yes, I thought that it was already speaking. I noticed that Mr. Garcia said that when he's still trying, as if it's a daily task for this mission. I was wondering, when you feel like not trying, what do you do inside to motivate yourself?
Many things. you look at yourself in the mirror. You look at your – there was a point in my life where my mom had died. I was going through a divorce. I was going through a career crisis, everything you can imagine. My life was crumbling. And I went to my sister's house to get away from it all for a week. And I was looking back when I was a kid, all I went through, feeling sorrow. And then I was like looking around and worried, how am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do? When am I going to get a new job? This, that. And it was just, that was the process of 2 or 3 days. Eventually, I went to my sister's refrigerator and I saw a little magnet that says, sorrow looks back, worry looks all around, faith looks up. And as much as I love Think and Grow Rich, I believe in God more than anything else. So that faith, it's something that it's just in you, and you have to have faith. When you start worrying, when you start losing faith, things, your attitude and things around you start changing. Once you have faith, all you see is the end of the tunnel. You don't see all the other things. You have to have tunnel vision. You have to have mental toughness. Tunnel vision, mental toughness. You got to focus on what you want. You're always going to have struggles along the way. That's part of the process. It's just one thing I learned too late in life. When you have a problem, you just got to eliminate it as quickly as possible, because if not, you have the snowball effect. I should have learned that early in my life. But like I said, it's a learning process. I keep up. First thing you got to do, walk away the robbers of dream, those naysayers, the negative people. Walk away from the people that are not going to help your purpose. All they're going to do is steal your energy. They're going to steal your dreams, and they're going to bring you even more down. You got to do anything you have to do to overcome that down period. That's pretty much it. It's the old-fashioned way. It's a do-it-yourself proposition. You know, happiness is today, not tomorrow. You're not going to be happy tomorrow. You got to start being happy today. So if you have a downtime, that's it. It's a downtime, okay. It's part of the process. It's 1 hour out of 24 hours. The next 23 hours have to be focused, happy, enjoying life, everything that's good. You got to surround yourself around good, your family, the support system. At the same time, as part of your purpose, you have to find the people that are going to help you get you there. It's kind of, I remember back in grade school when my teacher said, you want to be an A student, hang around A students. You want to be an F student, hang around F students. That's what you're going to get. You want to be positive, surround yourself around those people that are going to bring you up. You don't want, you have that friend that 10 years ago was nagging and complaining and nothing was going good, and you call him today and he's still nagging and complaining and going good. Sorry, he's off the bus. I can't afford, life is too precious to not enjoy everything that's good. I can be happy without money. The sun is out today, beautiful. The sky is blue. Those are the things that motivate me. God is good. I have loving family. I got great friends. Everything is good. And that's the attitude. That's the attitude. And that's how you overcome. And when you're really, really down, change the rhythm. Something that you're doing is bringing you down. Change it immediately. Focus on the good stuff. And have that tunnel vision.
Very good.
That's
Andrew.
Pretty much it.
Thank you very much. We now have Stephanie Banks of Stephamar Travel, who has raised her hand and has a question or a comment. I've just opened your mic, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Garcia. I'm so blessed
good
to
morning.
Be able to listen to you this morning. And, you know, my focus has always been on our children, which is the next generation. And I just want to know what would you do, or how do you help to motivate your kids, or what kind of suggestion do you have to motivate the next generation to step into
Whoa.
Their brain?
That's a hard one. that's a hard one with the I don't know. Find a book of motivation where they can put it on those little fingers when they're texting and they're doing the little computer. I kind of feel sorry for the generation today, and that's one of the biggest challenges in my life. I tried to lead by example, and kids today, they have everything, but they have nothing. You know, my parents had to tie me down because I was outside until late at night and they couldn't find me. We would go camping. We would play games. We were creative. They're creative in computers, but that's about it. The kids today really need, and it's hard because I believe that today, since everything is disposable, plastic paper, plastic cup, relationships are disposable too. The kids really need a refocus, just like most of America today. We've lost faith and we lost confidence. Like I said earlier, I was doing an interview and I had college kids applying for a minimum wage job, and they have to. That's one of the toughest challenges I think in our country. Anybody who has a kid who's gone through college and doing what they have to do today, it's. The parent is blessed, okay? I was talking to a single mom. She's doing everything she can. She takes him to Kung Fu with my son. She takes him to trips. She finds out to see 2 weeks in advance planning activities to spend time with him so he doesn't fall in because she's of low income and lives in a neighborhood that isn't too safe. But she's doing everything she can to keep him going, and sometimes she loses faith, and I said, keep on doing what you're doing. At least at one moment, they're going to find out that what you did for them was good. And it comes down to the foundation of your lifestyle, going back to basics, you know. You spell love with kids is by time. I think I saw something great where somebody said, if you go out to dinner, take all the cell phones and the iPad, put in one on top of the other, and the first one to answer it has to pay the bill. I think as a family, we have to go back to that. Put everything away. Let's eat at the table again. Not in front of the TV, not in front of the computer, no iPads. There has to be a moment where you can go back to basics. When life gets complicated, back to basics. I still believe in old-fashioned principles. I think conversation with the kids is the most important thing, and keep that communication. They have a mindset today that's totally different than what we think 10, 20, 30 years ago. But if your kids are having that conversation with you, at least you can input the little seed, They act like they're not listening, but they're listening. But it's a challenge. I wish I had the answer for that. But involvement, it's a contact sport with kids today, and you have to be there actively with them. Try your best to go with the old-fashioned method of love, communication, hug, and whether they want it or not.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Garcia. I appreciate all your time and patience.
Very good. Okay. We have 9 minutes left in the show. I'm going to play one last commercial, and then we will come back either for another caller, comment, question, or further conversation from our guest, Mr. Garcia.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Very good. You know, one of the things that it states as part of your process in developing your success consciousness, it mentions the fact that and this is on page 52 in Faith, I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. And the reason why I bring this up is because of the career that you have moved forward in is one that is fraught with all of the above. And I wanted for you to talk to us. And I mean, I know that everyone deals with envy. I know that everyone deals with negativity. But it seems like in real estate, it is almost something that is just barely below the surface. So can you talk to us for a second about how you deal with that?
You know, that's a very great question that many people ask me about my career and even other professionals. There's, you know, to be the best that you have to be, you have to be around the best, because they'll bring your level up. You know, if you're as strong as your weakest link, and if I build a sales team and my weakest salesperson is selling $20-30 million a year, imagine what the best are doing. So in real estate, there's a lot of egos, but I'm in the commercial real estate, which is a different animal. It's actually kind of like a secret society. When you read something on the news about commercial real estate, if deal happened a year ago, 8 months ago, they've kept the secret. One of the things that most people don't know, I have to be a shark. I'll cut your throat and get your business. There are some people that are like that, but I've noticed around the real strong, really rich person, not rich, wealthy people, they still old-fashioned. They need somebody next to them that they can trust. They don't want to be looking around their back. Some of them still work on a handshake and relationship. On the contrary, like I said, it's a bus. I'm going to bring you on my bus. Are you going to play my rules? After the real estate crash, there were a lot of people that did a lot of bad things that pretty much killed our economy. Today, I deal with more integrity than even before. Once somebody starts telling me certain things, certain issues, certain mannerisms, I cut them off right there and there and say, guys, there are hundreds of people that want to do dirty dealings. I won't deal dirty. Thank you very much. I still believe in the handshake. I still believe in honesty and straightforward and being an open book. And successful people respect that and expect that and want that, you know. So it's a misconception that that people still deal. Some of the richest people today, of course, there are those that's their personality. They want to be a shark. They want to be a corporate raider, and they want to be the bad guy. That's their role. That's what they want to play. But in certain communities, a handshake, your word is still your bond, you know, and you have to respect it, and you'll lose faith if you don't go through the old basic golden rule ways. I still believe that. Actually, I've gotten deals where I've gone to commercial guys and they don't want a deal, and I said, well, will you give me your word, and would you still honor a commission if I do this for you? And the guy actually said, I like that. I like old school. Of course, here, give me what you want and I'll sign it. When he didn't want to sign the document proving it. We have to go back to that. You have to build yourself around relationships, like I continually say that, where if I say, Ann, here is Joe, I vouch for this guy 100%, and if he doesn't fulfill what I promise, I will be responsible for it. Those are the type of people you have to deal with, period, in life. And it's a hard thing because, well, what about my old friend? He's my childhood friend, even though he's dishonorable and he has a terrible word. You really don't need them in your life if you want to obtain that purpose. You need people of respect, people of honor, and people of character, where, you know, especially in today's world, where that is a commodity, you know, where you can go to this, and I know in the business world, some people, that's their vision, where they can say, okay, you bring me the steel, you don't have to worry. If I give you my word, that's that. And that is so strong. That is so strong. And it excites me. And I have that reputation, and I try to back it up. I have salespeople that they've complained about everything with me. But they said, no. When it comes to commission, Gilbert he makes sure you get paid. That's that, you know. You have to honor your word. That's something I grew up. It's a tradition from my heritage, where I'm an old school caballero, and I still believe that. You don't have to have me sign a contract. If I said it's this, that's how it has to be. So even though people don't believe that, and when you're building relationships, eventually you're going to meet with somebody that you're going to have to do business again, and you went against your word and you did dishonest dealing, believe me, you're not going to make a penny off that guy. So still, honesty is always the best policy, and that's how I believe, and that's part of the mental attitude that I work with.
That's a good word to end on. I want to thank you so much for being our guest. And if you're listening, I'd like for you to close out the show, and then I will follow up for the final commercial. Ann? We will be on. We are the Palm Beach Life Planners, and we are here every Saturday morning discussing Think and Grow Rich. I want to thank each of you for joining us this morning. We look forward to listening to you and talking to you next week. We will continue and we will finish the chapter on faith.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on your show.
Oh, thank you very much. And did you have a final comment? If not, I'll go directly to commercial.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.